live from the Irving Levin Performance Hall. This is Thursdays at 3, and today we'll get a preview of the next production by Orpheus PDX, Mozart's opera, Scipio's Dream. Written by Mozart when he was just 15 years old, it asks the protagonist to choose between fortune and virtue. The second half of the show features performers from the summertime series, The Concerts at the Barn. Maria Garcia, James Shields, and Trevor Fitzpatrick are here today for our sneak peek. Got some really fun music and great conversation ahead, so I'm glad you're here for Thursdays at 3. That was Claire Forsman playing our theme by Ernest Bloch, and Claire is the pianist for Orpheus PDX this afternoon. But before we dive into the music, I want to have a quick chat with Orpheus PDX founder and director Christopher Mataliano. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You've got this production of Mozart's Scipio's Dream coming up August 2nd and 3rd. I'm not sure I've ever heard of Scipio's Dream being performed in Portland before, and honestly, I'm not sure it is performed all that often. Before we hear some of the music, can you give us a rundown of what this opera is all about?
Oh, sure. This is an opera, believe it or not, that Mozart composed when he was 15 years old. It was written for a very specific occasion for some archbishop, but it actually never took place during Mozart's lifetime. Oh, okay. So we don't think he actually ever heard this opera during his lifetime.
Wow.
In fact, the world premiere might have been 1979 at the Salzburg Festival.
Are you kidding me?
So this is a really unusual storyline in the world of Mozart. But it's a uniquely beautiful piece with blockbuster firework arias. And it's been a very exciting rehearsal process thus far, and we're doing the West Coast premiere of Il Sogno di Scipione, or Scipio's Dream.
Yeah. And the quick plot synopsis, I think I gave a very one-sentence overview. Scipio, your protagonist,
yes,
is dreaming.
He is indeed. He is visited by the goddesses of constancy and fortune, and they instruct him that he needs to choose one as his guiding star, as the he will either follow the world of fortune or the world of constancy for the rest of his life. And it's all about the choice he makes, the process.
And your Scipio is Charles C., who is here today. This is, from the sound of it, not a very easy opera to perform. It's very florid, very...
It is. It's a lot of fun, though. It's actually, it's quite unusual, especially for Mozart tenor. For Mozart tenor, it usually doesn't get this florid and so high, and you actually see it a lot in his earlier music, probably before he found his mold for his normal Mozart tenor roles, so It's actually pretty exciting. As I've sung a lot of Mozart, and this is pretty unusual.
Yeah,
so it's really fun.
So, can you set up this first aria we're about to hear? What's happening in the plot?
Yeah, this is right at the beginning of the show. So, Scipio has just woken up unexpectedly to these beautiful women, and they've introduced themselves as Fortune and Constancy, and said that you must pick one of us. Mm. And so, in this aria, Scipio is a bit distraught and overwhelmed with the fact that he has to make such a major decision on the spot. He tries to get their attention, but they're kind of ignoring him a little bit, and he gets a little more frustrated as we go along. But yeah, this is just him figuring out what he's going to do.
Awesome. Well, singing the role then of Scipio is Charles C. Once again, Claire Forsman at the piano. Our first selection today from Mozart's The Dream of Scipio, presented by Orpheus PDX. And this is Thursdays at 3.
Oppressa si sente da tanto stupore. Confusa la mente, che oppressa si sente da tanto stupor, che oppressa si sente da tanto stupor, da tanto stupor, da tanto stupor. Confusa la mente, che oppressa si sente da tanto stupor, che oppressa si sente da tanto stupor, da tanto stupor, da tanto stupor. Confusa la mente, più presso si sente da tanto stupor, che appresso si sente da tanto stupor, da tanto stupor, da tanto stupor, da tanto stupor.
A brilliant performance from Charles C., singing the role of Scipio, along with pianist Claire Forstmann. That was Scipio's first aria in the opera, Scipio's Dream, being presented by Orpheus PDX on the weekend of August 2nd and 3rd at Lincoln Performance Hall. And you can find out more at orpheuspdx.org. Christopher Metagliano, where did you go? Come back. I got to talk to you about this opera. Because that was crazy, written by a 15-year-old, right? And this next aria that's going to be sung by a soprano
Correct.
Is equally crazy. What did Mozart think he was doing at 15 years old? Jeez.
Well, as I said earlier, the opera is one vocal fireworks after another, and that's partly why it's very exciting to be producing this here with Orpheus PDX, with my company here in Portland. I saw this production years ago in New York.
Okay.
It was produced by a company called the Gotham Chamber Opera Company. And when I created Orpheus PDX, I sort of based the concept of this summertime company here in Portland on the world of Gotham Chamber Opera Company, which is very high quality professional artists from all over the world in chamber works. And our programming models, we do one 18th century opera and one opera by a living composer every year. So we skip 300 years. We
skip all those matter big, for weeks. Yeah.
All those big, fat, juicy 19th century operas that everyone loves. We do masterpieces of 18th century and only living composers.
That's incredible.
So that's why it's a really wonderful experience, both for us as artists, but also for our audience, because they get bookends of the art form.
Right, and some overlooked things, typically.
Yes.
Now, Scipio's Dream, I should mention, is 90 minutes, no intermission.
Correct.
Bam, bam, bam.
At Lincoln Hall.
At Lincoln Hall.
Which I must, if I may, I should say Lincoln Hall is the best place to hear opera in Portland. Even Opera News says that. It's the best hall for opera. It's got exquisite acoustics. It's only 475 seats, so you're very close to the singers, and it's very intimate. And for those that are afraid of opera, if you don't mind, I have to plug the fact that we have English captions. We have titles. So there's no reason to be afraid to go to the opera ever again, whether you speak Italian, German, French. Go to the opera because we have an English translation above the stage. So if for your listening audience that wants to stick their toe in the water but were afraid because they don't speak Italian, go see this, and you'll know exactly what they're saying.
No worries, right.
Thank you for letting me plug that.
Thanks. Problem. And I feel like, Portland audiences are somewhat adventurous, so coming out to see this rarely performed Mozart opera is a great idea. And then just a quick mention of what you have a couple weeks after that. It's an opera about the cellist Jacqueline Dupré.
Correct. This will be... this opera was commissioned by the Tapestry Opera in Toronto, and it's about the life of the great cellist Jacqueline Dupré and her struggle with MS, with multiple sclerosis. And it's an extraordinarily beautiful work composed specifically for Marnie Breckenridge, the soprano, and the cellist, who has a big international career, Matt Haimovitz. Mm-hmm. It was composed for them, and we're bringing both of those artists here to perform the opera.
And that's in late August.
That's the last weekend in August, yes. So go to our website, and all the details are there.
OrpheusPDX.org.
Yes, that's correct.
Coming back to Mozart's Scipio's Dream, we just heard Scipio being a little bit aggravated that he has to choose between Fortuna, who is offering riches, and Constanza, who's offering truth and virtue.
Constancy,
right?
Yes, exactly.
So singing the role of Fortuna now is Jenna McIntyre. So you're the kind of the baddie in this opera.
I am.
So tell me about the challenges of singing Fortuna in Scipio's Dream.
In this aria you're about to hear, she makes her case, right? So she says she changes as the wind, and she's a lot of fun, but she can take things away also. In this production specifically, Christopher Alden, our director, has made her someone a bit fickle. She's not happy with anything. She's always on to the next thing. And I think bringing that into sort of my coloratura phrases and having a big crescendo over each aria is sort of what it's all about for her. I mean, she tops herself, and then she's more, and then she's more. So it's a lot of fun.
She's your high maintenance friend, it sounds like.
A little bit.
You mentioned the production. Chris, I know that this Sheepio's Dream is set, it's about a real life historical figure who right. lived like 200 BCE, right?
Correct.
This is not where you're setting the opera.
No, this is a production as I saw years ago, directed by Christopher Alden, who's a director whose work I admire very much, and he's a wildly creative artist. And so this production is set more or less in the 70s, would you say?
Yeah, 1970s?
Yeah, 1970s.
Really?
Yeah, with a shag carpet. I mean, remember lava lamps and carpets and waterbeds? It's that world. Okay. And it makes great demands on the singers, not only obviously vocally, listening to Charles, and as you're about to hear with Jana, but also in terms of the acting. It's really a tour de force. It's a big comic romp.
Yeah.
This production opened the season for a chamber opera company in New York in 2000, and was such a huge success that they revived it 10 years later. And I saw it, and I've always wanted to present it here in Portland. So for me, it's a bit of a dream come true. Aww. To do the opera with this cast, especially.
Right.
Because you can't do the opera without world-class singers.
Right, because these are hard.
It's too demanding a piece.
And the cast is just two sopranos and two tenors.
Correct.
Which is crazy.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it's written for, we also have a chorus, but it's primarily two tenors, two sopranos, so it's very bright.
Mm-hmm.
The color of it, mm-hmm. the sort of universe of it is very bright and very brilliant, kind of diamond-like. So it's a real feast vocally for the audience.
Now, Jana, you don't have to sing from a waterbed or anything like that.
No. Although I changed wardrobes. I have a whole wardrobe of costumes.
That she does in the... How many outfits do you wear in this aria?
Yeah.
In this aria?
In this aria, about... around eight.
Whoa!
Yeah.
While you're singing this thing?
While I'm singing.
Wait till you hear this aria. Okay, I'm going to imagine that as we hear it. Wow. Okay, this is Jana McIntyre, one of the sopranos in Sheepio's Dream, presented by Orpheus PDX. Music that Mozart wrote when he was 15 years old. And once again, Claire Forstman at the piano. You can find about this production of Sheepio's Dream at orpheuspdx.org. And you're listening to Thursdays at 3.
Leave it on our path.
Absolutely incredible. That was soprano Jana McIntyre with pianist Claire Forstmann. We heard Fortuna's first aria from the opera Mozart's Scipio's Dream, which is being performed by Orpheus PDX on August 2nd and 3rd at Lincoln Performance Hall. It is one act, 90 minutes, no intermission. Deanna Tham conducts. Great chorus, vocal fireworks throughout. You don't want to miss it. OrpheusPDX.org, and also check out information about their upcoming production of Jacqueline as well. I'm Krista Wessel. This is Thursdays at 3. Thanks for being here today. As we prepare for the second half of the show, I want to let you know you can always see what's coming up on Thursdays at 3 at our website, allclassical.org, and even sign yourself up to be in our studio audience. Again, that's allclassical.org. Well, this summer marks the fifth year of chamber concerts at the 200-acre Berry Farm in Beaverton. The Concert at the Barn takes place at Butler Barn at Hoffman Farms and plays host to a wildly varied series of chamber concerts on consecutive Wednesday nights. Neil DuPont created the series, which often features musicians from the Oregon Symphony as well as renowned jazz artists and more. Welcome, Neil, to Thursdays at 3.
Thank you, Krista. It's great to be here. And this studio, which I have not been in before, is absolutely fantastic.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It is amazing.
Over the last 5 years, we've gotten accustomed to the amazing talent you've brought to the Butler Barn, but I'm kind of curious to know, what is new this year?
This year, we're switching to a little different kind of programming concept. We're having sort of a festival. It's three consecutive weeks. We used to spread out the concerts over 6 or 7 weeks. We're going to do three consecutive Wednesdays, July 30th, August 6th, and August 13th at the Butler Barn. And we are now doing what we call combo concerts, where it's sort of a two concerts in one concept. The first half is almost always classical music, and the second half could be something a little bit different. So, for instance, the first concert is the classical Rachmaninoff and classical jazz concert. We have Trevor Fitzpatrick and Maria Garcia playing some Rachmaninoff.
Who we'll hear in just a moment.
Which you will hear today. And the second half is Darryl Grant, jazz pianist, and Sherry Alves, singer, who are going to do jazz standards and some original music. And it's this idea of having two shows in one, different experiences, kind of a curated event, each concert a little bit different from the one before, but a different kind of experience at the Butler Barn this year.
Oh, look, marvelous. The Concerts at the Barn. This is how I always say your website. I like emphasizing the. The Concerts at the Barn.
.com.
Right. Yes. I'll bring you back up to talk more about the rest of the series that you're curating this season. But let's start off with a little bit of Rachmaninoff by hearing Maria Garcia and Trevor Fitzpatrick play the first movement from Rachmaninoff's cello sonata in G minor. And this is Thursdays at 3.
Thank you.
First off, I have to correct myself. I introduced that as a cello sonata by Rachmaninoff. It's actually a sonata for cello and piano, Maria Garcia. Good gravy. And Trevor Fitzpatrick played the cello. We're previewing the concerts at the Barn today on Thursdays at 3, and Maria and Trevor will be playing that whole thing, the whole sonata, on July 30th at Butler Barn, Hoffman Farms. Did I get that wrong?
No, that is correct.
Okay.
That is absolutely correct. Butler Barn at Hoffman Farms.
You can find out more at theconcertsatthebarn.com. And Neil DuPont is the creator, founder, director, all the things of The Concerts at the Barn. And we talked a little bit about this first concert, which features Trevor and Maria and Daryl Grant and Sherry Alvis. The second concert in your series is August 6th. And it features James Shields, clarinetist James Shields, who is, I was going to mention, Maria Garcia is a former artist in residence here at All Classical, and James Shields is one of our current artists in residence here at All Classical, so I feel like we're among family here. But James Shields and the Rosebud String Quartet will be performing on that show, and the second half, Neil, you're performing on.
Yes, Rosebud is coming. They're an outstanding young string quartet from Alberta, Canada. They are going to play in the first half the Haydn String Quartet in F minor. And then I'm going to play three movements of the five movement work Trackings by a local composer and local hero of ours, Kenji Bunch. Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful piece for string quartet, piano, and percussion. I'll be playing marimba and vibraphone. And we're doing three of the movements. It's about the African-American diaspora from Africa to the United States, and each movement represents first movement, the diaspora. The third movement I'm playing is the influence of African-American culture and music on the southeastern United States jazz movement in the early 20th century. So it's a sort of a jazz blues movement. And then the last movement that I'll be playing is a very bright and melodic piece in the odd and different meters, where the polyrhythms that are involved are, in essence, transported from Western Africa to this piece. Even though it's very Western and accessible and in a major key, there's a lot of polyrhythmic intricacies in this work. And so we're really thrilled to bring these three movements of Kenji's Trackings to the Barn. And then we're going to hear a little bit of Kenji's music today.
It's something that's not going to be on your series, but
that's right.
About Kenji. And before we talk about the Kenji Bunch piece, I want to also just briefly touch on the third and final concert in your series, which features Brahms on the first half and Susanna Mars on the second half.
Yes, some of our favorite vocalists are here. Susanna will appear with Low Steel, her father on the piano. I'm going to play drum set, actually, on this, and Rob, our bass player. The first half is the Brahms piano trio in C minor. And part of this year's new idea is we're collaborating with the Chatter PDX group that has been started by our friends Trevor and James here. And they are bringing musicians to us for the Barn who also work with Chatter. Both of these organizations, mine and theirs, really like to promote the Portland world-class artists who live and work here, like many of us who are members of the symphony or play in various ensembles. We really like the sort of farm-to-table concept that we're big on in Oregon of bringing our local musicians who are world-class soloists to the Barn and to Chatter PDX every Sunday.
James Shields, co-creator of Chatter PDX. Welcome back to Thursdays at 3.
It's great to see you, Krista. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay.
I love that. Neil, you have a way with words. I'm going to use farm to table. I'm stealing
like it.
It's an Oregon thing.
Do you want to say a word about Chatter PDX?
Yeah, I would love to. It's great to be back here. We were on Thursdays at 3 about a year ago when Chatter PDX was just getting started. We're based on a series from Albuquerque, New Mexico that is 17 years in now. We've played 850 Sunday morning concerts in Albuquerque. Ooh. We used to be called the Church of Beethoven. It's not religious, but it gives you a sense of what we are. We're a weekly concert series. We perform the same time, same place, every week, all year long, 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. And we're all about community and getting together for coffee and baked goods. We have 10 minutes of poetry, 2 minutes of silence, and about 40 minutes of chamber music. And we play anything from Renaissance to brand new compositions, and we try and really represent all different styles of classical music.
Well, it's really cool that you've partnered with Neil for Concerts at the Barn. So you're kind of curating the classical half of these concerts, it sounds like?
Correct, yeah.
Nice.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a spectacular season. I like the 2-for-1, getting bang for your buck.
Two concerts for the price of one.
And before we hear a little music of that composer, Kenji Bunge, Farm to Table, I want to ask you about the setting. We're talking about the barn. It's not, there's not a hay bale to be seen. Can you set the scene
correct.
A little bit?
There are no, you're not sitting with cows and sheep, really. It's a renovated barn on the Hoffman Farms grounds. This barn is over 100 years old. And after they built a brand new barn, they renovated this barn, put in lights and sound and a cement floor, and it's really quite a unique experience. I like to think of it as the most intimate opportunity for chamber music, perhaps short of Chatter PDX, yeah. where people are right there within 10 to 25 feet of the musicians. And it really brings you up close. And the idea of chamber music being in a small space and you really can see the musicians and watch them collaborate with each other. And they're not these small one-inch sized people from the back of a concert hall. Right. They're actually human beings who are living and breathing the music that they perform. And this opportunity, I think, is rare, unique, and very special. Chatter PDX and my organization, DuPont Creativity Partners, which produces these concerts, we really believe in bringing our local artists to the public in this very intimate way. We both have our websites, of course, chatterpdx.org and theconcertsatthebarn.com. You can find out more about it, get on our mail list, etc. But we really believe deeply in bringing these wonderful artists to our local audiences.
I love that the Concert at the Barn and Orpheus PDX are on the same show. I like the like small curated things that you guys are doing.
Yeah, and Chatter PDX, Orpheus, we are all there. Trying to do things that really bring our artists and our community to our audiences.
That's right. You can find out more at theconcertsatthebarn.com or chatterpdx.org. And then once again, orpheuspdx.org. Okay, we're going to wrap up the show. You mentioned that you've got some Kenji Bunge on the second night of your series on August 6th. We're not going to hear anything from that work. Instead, we're going to hear James Shields and Maria Garcia play a little music from Kenji Bunge's work called Cookbook. You want to talk about this a little bit, James?
Absolutely, I'd love to. This is a fantastic four-movement work for clarinet and piano. And each movement has a sort of... a food-related title that has a double meaning. So the first movement is called Smokehouse, and that could be a place where you smoke meats, or it could be a smoky jazz club. The second movement is titled Bubbles, and that could be, you're bubbling, boiling water for pasta. It could also be the champagne that you might toast at an intermission at the opera. Third movement that I'm going to play with Maria today is called Heirloom, and that could be either an heirloom tomato or a musical heirloom. And the middle section of this movement is titled Tempo di Chrysler. So that's your hint.
Fritz Chrysler?
Yes. And the final movement is a flamenco piece. Kenji and Monica Uchi is Kenji's wife. They had gone to a flamenco restaurant in Brooklyn when they were living there, saw a fantastic flamenco show, had great food at the Spanish restaurant. They went back a week later and had gone out of business. So it's a really fantastic work, and actually Kenji is making an arrangement for string quartet and clarinet that I believe we are going to record in this studio in a couple months. So stay tuned for that. But it's really a brilliant work, and I love performing it. I'm really excited to be here with Maria Garcia, one of my frequent collaborators, to perform it for you now. Oh, and I just want to say one more thing, a bit of a trivia item to it. When this piece was commissioned, the clarinetist he wrote it for asked that it have lots of circular breathing, which is when you breathe in while playing out. And it basically, throughout the entire movement, I have to do that. So unfortunately, my allergies are bad this year, so I need to make sure my nose is clear. But but other than that, it's a fun party trick, and he puts it to good use in this piece.
Thank you for that insider information, James Shields. He's now performing the Heirloom movement with Maria Garcia from Kenji Bunge's Cookbook. You can hear Kenji Bunge's music at the Concerts at the Barn in a couple of weeks. You can find out more at theconcertsatthebarn.com. And you're listening to Thursdays at 3. ¶¶ What a sweet way to wrap up the show today with a movement from Kenji Bunch's cookbook. James Shields was the clarinetist and pianist Maria Garcia. You can find out more about the series, The Concerts at the Barn, where Kenji Bunch's music will be played, at The Concert at the Barn, theconcertsatthebarn.com. Every concert, a two-for-one experience. You get a little classical, you get a little something else. You can check out all the information on those concerts from June 30th to August 13th, theconcertsatthebarn.com. And by the way, All Classical Radio is a media sponsor for this series. And I just cannot believe the array of talent that we had on the show today. I had a fantastic time. Did you guys have a good time too? Well, you can sign yourself up to be in the studio audience for a future Thursdays at 3 at our website, allclassical.org. We can also find out more about what's coming up on the show. Also, at that website, we will archive today's program for the next 2 weeks, so you can listen again on demand at allclassical.org. Thursdays at 3 was today broadcast live from the Irving Levin Performance Hall, and our audio engineer was Daniel Hornbeck. And a special thanks to our interns, Nick and Andrew, who are both leaving us today. You guys are so great, and I wish you all the luck. I'm Krista Wessel, and before Maria Garcia plays us out today, I want to remind you that it's your support of All Classical Radio that makes this show and this entire radio station possible. So thank you so much for your generous contributions.